Captain Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
That's why I see him in my
shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Shot, no shot, brought to you by the wonderful people at Points Bet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse and the Club Hawthorne app. They've got you with the Points Bet app for your sports gambling. You want to play the ponies like we did the other day? That is Club Hawthorne. And on Points Bet, use this promo code Take That to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Good morning, Snarling.
Good morning, boys. How are we?
That's his email.
Good, Jay. What's happening, pal?
Well, Jesse probably knows by now. You call me that every single day.
Snarling.
He's an avid listener to our station and our program.
How about that?
Snarling, what do you got for us?
How you doing, Jess? Good to see you this morning.
Good.
Are you all relaxed after your lathered up vacation with
Kaplan,
Wisconsin?
Yeah, we were suntanning together, no doubt about it.
Getting a little of the oil going?
Something like that. You know the rule. What happens in Oshkosh stays there.
I keep saying that.
I've been saying
that
for a week.
What happened in Oshkosh.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now
well,
we want to know more than ever.
We were out there on the lily pad.
Ask Chuck Garfine. He knows.
Yeah. All oiled up, Guff. The two of you and Chuck and Guff.
Yeah. It was good.
What was your wife doing while you boys were getting oiled up?
Yeah, she was
in the water.
She was in the water, but keeping her distance from us.
Yeah,
I bet.
She had enough baseball talk by about seven minutes into the trip. She's like, okay, can we talk to some reality shows or something?
No.
Sorry about your luck.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was fun, man.
Just to be away from the rat race.
Out on the water. Oh, it was awesome. So,
all right, what do you got, Shay?
All right, boys, I want to start with a little baseball talk. Nice segue, Jesse. Rick Hahn was asked on Friday about the White Sox biggest needs at the deadline. He had this to say.
Whether they're in it or not, never feels like they have enough pitching. And we're certainly not immune to that, primarily in the bullpen. Obviously, Aaron Bummer has been absent for a while and is starting to make some progress. And we do project him to return at some point, but that's not guaranteed. So I would say bullpen's probably the most obvious need. I think if you look at our offensive and defensive performance over the course of the year, the performance out of second base and right field haven't quite been what we would hope. That said, if you look at what Josh Harrison has done since June 1st and you look what Gavin Sheets has done since he returned from the minors, those both potentially could be solutions there. So we'll have to wait and see.
All right, I want to point out, he said the bullpen is the most obvious need. That's kind of where I want to go with my question, because I wonder if the solution is already on the roster. Shot or no shot, the White Sox should be looking for a starting pitcher and move Michael Kopech to the bullpen.
That's an absolute shot that I've been screaming from the mountaintops. Michael Kopech's going to be at a career high in innings. He has got a knee issue that might have to be fixed in the offseason. We don't know. Why would I keep piling up innings when he hasn't performed that well since the knee got to be a problem? So I move him into a high leverage, cut it loose, seventh, eighth inning guy, and I go get another starter.
We talked about this yesterday. I will say shot, but I'll put a caveat. If that starter is as good or better than Michael Kopech, I am not making my rotation worse just to put Kopech in the bullpen. Unless Kopech needs to go in the bullpen because of arm issues. That has not been the case so far. Or knee issues. Rick Hahn said that we'd only do it if he needs to be there. But my rotation is already shaky. I'm not replacing Kopech with Jose Quintana. So shot, but only if it's a better pitcher than Kopech.
But he has not been pitching that well as a starter.
Okay, but he's still pretty good. Still pretty good. Look at the numbers. They're still pretty good. So I would not replace Kopech with Jose Quintana. No. It's got to be someone. You tell me they're getting Luis Castillo? Bye-bye, Michael. Go to the bullpen.
Right. Can you imagine? That would be a great day for us.
Of course it would be. But okay. not if it's someone not as good as Kopech. That's not how it works.
There you go.
5 ERA. Oh, never mind. I'm looking at the wrong thing. 3.3 ERA as a starter this season. I was going to say, I thought he's been pretty solid, but I do worry about the innings as they get higher. We saw with Rodon last year, a little bit of fatigue set in as the innings got high.
True.
That could happen for Kopech again.
True.
I had a question about the Cubs, boys, but you kind of did exactly what I was going to ask you in our last segment. So I'm just going to get right into it. Shot or no shot with the trade deadline next week. This time next week, the Cubs will have traded at least five players off of this roster.
Oh, shot. That's a shot.
Yeah, we'll both say shot.
There's a chance that they're putting you and JR in a deal.
Seriously. Or at least playing for the guys they... Or putting him out on the field after they trade them all. JR could make a great backstop for Wilson. What did we do already? Wilson, Hap, Givens, Robertson, guarantees.
Smiley.
Smiley, maybe.
Ortega.
Ortega guarantees. And there's five right there, five or six.
That's
right
six,
there.
And there was Wisdom would be seven.
Yeah, that's right off the top of our head.
How about Andrelton Simmons?
Yeah, nobody wants him. But a bunch of those relievers, I mean, Givens is gone for sure. In fact, Shotty ends up on the south side, just like last year, Ryan Tepera, Craig Kimbrell. I know the Sox were interested in Givens in the offseason, and they chose Joe Kelly over him. And Joe hasn't completely worked out. Givens would work. The Yankees want Michael Givens, too, from what I understand. He's going to be sought after, for sure. Perfect seventh or eighth inning guy, can handle any situation. Robertson also, same thing, because you don't need him to close.
Do you realize how bad the Cubs are going to be if they move?
Because we saw it last year. That's how bad.
Yeah, it's going to be brutal.
By the way, shout out to JR. I told him I'd call him this. He's our gopher running to get coffee for the show.
Yeah, are you going to massage his feet at the break, too?
At least I can carry my own headphones, Cap.
Wow.
Whoa. Man, I walked into a hornet's nest.
Good to be me. Go ahead.
All right, boys. Kyler Murray signed a $230.5 million five-year extension last week that will keep him in Arizona and make him the second highest paid player in the NFL by annual value. But yesterday it broke that the contract includes a, quote, homework clause. The deal requires Murray engage in a minimum of 4 hours of so-called independent study each week. It is believed to be the first clause of its kind in an NFL contract. Shot or no shot. This clause tells you Kyler Murray will not live up to his contract.
That's a shot. If you are paying a man $231 million or whatever the total value ended up being, that was the last report I saw, and you have to mandate in the contract that he spends 4 hours a week? I remember waiting for a quarterback that I was going to get an interview with. He did 4 hours a day.
Imagine if we only had to prep for this show for 4 hours a week. Oh, my God, life would be easy.
Tell me, are we not texting me, you, Hoodie, and JR? Are we not texting, emailing to each other like last night?
I was on that chain last night.
11:30 at night, I see something because I'm still up. Send it. 4:30 or 5 in the morning, I'm sending you guys audio. You do the exact same thing, as does Johnny.
Well, here's the thing. Maybe Kyler thinks he's putting in the work in, but he's not really putting the work in, right? You can sometimes convince yourself, oh, I'm ready. You're not really ready. I would say shot as well, and it's sad. I don't know the guy, but I would think that this would be one of the more embarrassing things. If that's the first clause of its kind, that's a chip on my shoulder if I'm Kyler Murray. And I take this and use it to motivate me. That's me. And I am an MVP.
He got the money.
I get it. But that's pretty embarrassing if that's the first clause ever.
May I beak?
Yes.
I agree. It's really embarrassing. And the reason I think it's embarrassing is because what this tells me when I read this, I thought, well, they track. They know. They give you company devices when you go to an NFL team. They can track how much film you're watching. They can track how much you're using the devices that they give you. This tells me Kyler Murray hasn't cracked his thing open at all. Well, no wonder every time we get halfway through the season, week 9, week 10, your performance falls off a cliff. Because everybody's got the book on you, and you don't have the book on anyone else.
Yeah, they don't need to track it. They just can watch on Sunday. And if he's coming up short in the areas that would need studying and all that stuff, that's you get a test every Sunday. And he was failing it too much, apparently, because he had to have this clause put in.
Unbelievable. These guys are, I mean, literally unbelievable. You're going to be the starting quarterback of an NFL team. We're going to give you 230-some million. We need to put a clause in there because this dude doesn't do film study.
Kind of weird, isn't it? If he's not doing film study, does he deserve the money? It's weird.
Crazy.
I wouldn't have paid. If you had to put that clause in and I were the general manager, I wouldn't have paid him. That would have been a deal breaker on the contract.
And where are you replacing him? That's the problem.
Well, yeah, but that's what we talk about with the NFL, and that's what I mentioned yesterday. If Fields is any good, you better watch out because in 2 years, payday's coming. That's just the way it is. You got to keep your guys. All right, boys. One last shot or no shot here. Okay. Mega Millions has reached its third highest jackpot in history at $810 million. And the owner of Raising Cane's Chicken has even purchased 50,000 tickets for every one of Raising Cane's employees.
Did you say Good Karma Broadcasting? Yeah, the owner?
Yeah,
is that what
exactly
you said?
What I said. Good Karma Brands.
Danny Zetterman, the director of content, everybody. Bought how many?
All right, boys, the question. Shot or no shot? If you won the jackpot on Mega Millions tonight, you would come into work tomorrow morning.
That's a shot. I would absolutely be here to do the show. This is what I do.
So there'd be a shot I'd come in tomorrow, but there's a really good shot it'd be the final time I come in. That come on, Cap. Come on, Cap. 800 million, and you're grinding this out Monday through Friday. I love sports talk radio. I love covering baseball. I'm not sure I would be doing it in a week from now. I'm not sure. Be honest.
I'm being totally honest with you.
You just bought this beautiful house. We were looking at the even more beautiful house down the road by the mental institution. You could have bought that one. I mean, come on. You could be up there for months at a time. You're telling me you'd be here.
I would do the show.
I would get a text from Kat that says, JR, how much are one of those Comrex units?
Yeah, right. You at least be doing the show from Oshkosh a little more often. At least admit that.
Probably every single day. Like, Cap, I think you'll still come into work and do this job, but still wake up at 4 a.m. and drive down. No
yes,
shot.
There is no shot.
You, then you don't know me very well. That's what I do.
I'm sitting here alongside Yoshi and Sparky. What's good, Sparkles?
What stories have you told on these airwaves?
Stanley.
What stories have you told on these airwaves and then privately when I was with you? All these great vacations and hiking trips and things you've done, you'd still be doing those once a year?
Okay.
Hey, Mindy, when can you get off at Malnati's? I know we got $800 million in the bank, but, you know, are you free February so we can get out of town? Come on.
After taxes, Jess, it's like $550 million, but we're getting Dave live with David Kaplan on YouTube.
All right, let him talk. Let him talk.
You guys don't know me very well. This is what I like to do. Whenever I go speak, I always say to, like, a youth group, I just spoke at a camp. At the sportscasters camp.
I spoke at the same camp.
What's the key?
And I told them, if you win the lotto, quit the business.
What's the key to happiness? It's getting someone to pay you where you can have a really nice life to do something you love doing.
Doesn't feel like a job. I go to the ballpark, it doesn't feel like a job.
Correct. I would get up and I would still come down here. I would.
Man.
Am I going to get in the car, drive to Macomb to do a basketball game? Probably not.
Okay, all right, we got something out of you. But you would come down here and do this show.
I would. I love doing this every day. I love it. I know there are people on the other end going, this guy's an idiot.
Yeah,
I can't stand
his
take.
You get it.
Just listen.
There's other people saying they don't even like this take. Forget about your Bears take. They don't like this take. How dare you win $800 million and keep going to work every day?
I would work. What am I going to do every day? Wake up. Okay, now it's 9 o'clock. I had two cups of coffee. What am I going to do now?
Amalfi Coast with my... I'm sitting next to George Clooney sipping coffee in Italy. What do you mean what you'd do? You'd be all over the place.
You throw a dart at a map and say, where am I playing golf today?
Yeah.
And then you go there.
Yeah. Yes.
Would you tell anyone, Cap, when you won?
Well, they're going to find out.
You know what JR told me last week? He said he wouldn't tell his wife without a lawyer.
Wow. You got to make sure, man. You got to protect those assets.
I like the people that say, what would you do first? Get a new wife. You know, stuff like that.
Wow. There's a famous former football coach who's in the Hall of Fame. He's also been on TV. Reportedly, when he hit it big and got his new contract, he walked in the door because he had to fly to meet with the owner.
I think
walked
I know this
story. In the door.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say who it is. Walked in the door, and his wife goes, did we get the deal? He goes, I did. By the way, I'm moving out.
I've heard that story. Yeah.
Crazy.
It's probably an athlete or two that's done it, you know. But I'm not advocating it. I win the lotto. My wife and I are going to have a nice life, you know, for a long time together.
312-332-3776. The Athletic released a ranking of NFL quarterbacks. Plus, 9 o'clock today. Major announcement on the upcoming football fest that we are putting on at the Horseshoe Casino It's August 20th. We're going to all be there, the whole station. It is going to be the first of its kind. It's going to be a massive event. We got a major announcement about that coming up at 9 o'clock. You do not want to miss. It's all coming up next.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. This is breaking news on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
All right. We have some breaking news because we have our football fest at the Hard Rock Casino. It's August 20th. Guess who's going to be there and speak to the group? That would be the man on the phone right now.
Who is it?
The amazingly talented Adam Schefter.
Ooh,
Schefter!
Cap, what's going on, guys? This just in, yes, I will be appearing at the ESPN Chicago Football Fest at the Hard Rock Casino that Saturday. Fired up for it. Going to bring my family to Chicago. Personally, I'm fired up about that because my wife, my son, my daughter, they've never been to or visited Chicago, a city that I've spent a lot of time in, having gone to graduate school there. And so they get to experience Chicago. I get to experience the ESPN Chicago Football Fest. We're going to have a great Saturday there that day. My family's going to have a great weekend in Chicago. So it's a win all across the board.
This is the biggest breaking news you've had all summer long, appearing at the fest.
I think so, yeah. I think it qualifies as something that's more significant than Russell Wilson being traded to Denver or Khalil Mack being traded to Los Angeles. But this might be bigger than all of those off-season developments. The fact that the Schefters are coming en masse to Chicago, and I will be attending the ESPN Chicago Football Fest, which we've talked about doing for a lot of time, a long period of time, but it's always so hard for me to leave my family with all the time that I'm gone. And then there was the pandemic, and this was just the right time. It just seemed to work out. And so I'm fired up to be there. It's going to be a great weekend. I know you guys do a great job with it, and I'm excited to be a small part of it that weekend.
So you will be more involved in football on August 20th than Roquan Smith may be by that date, right?
It's very possible, yes. Me and Good Karma Brand, ESPN, you know, we have an agreement, unlike the Bears and Roquan Smith that day, yes.
What do you make of that? What are you calling it, Cap? What's it called again?
A hold-in.
Chef, I've been around a while. Hold-in, that's a new one for me. I know it's happened a few times, so what do you make of that one?
Well, it's what players have to do these days because the rules in the new collective bargaining agreement are so punitive against a player who doesn't show up and holds out the way that other players used to back in the day, that players now are forced to report. And once they do report, then they hold in. And they find a way not, my hamstrings bother me, got a migraine headache, don't feel like I can go out there, my stomach's upset, whatever it is. And they talk to the team and they figure it out, but that's the situation and how it works.
So, Robert Quinn, do you expect Robert Quinn to show up and be all in, ready to lay it on the line like he did last year? Or do you think he either A, won't show, B, he'll hold in, or C, just tell them, I'm not doing anything till you trade me?
You know, I don't know how that one works. I think that's a different situation than Roquan Smith. I guess I got to check on that, but it's a situation where the Bears with Robert Quinn have to figure out what works for them. He has to figure out what works for him. And then the two sides solve that situation. I just think that's a different situation than the Roquan Smith one.
And then you finally see Jaquan Brisker get his deal done. So he'll be the starting safety. He was their second round pick of the Bears. Yeah. Schefter, I just look at the roster and the lack of impactful moves in the offseason, and it tells me they've picked their lane. They got rid of Khalil Mack. They got rid of Allen Robinson. A bunch of other dudes are gone. They're okay with being bad this year because it's part of the plan to rebuild this thing, right?
Well, first of all, they had spent a lot of money.
Yep.
They had spent a lot of draft picks, so they were without financial resources to devote to the cap. They were without picks to build the roster because of the move that they made for Justin Fields. They have a new head coach. They have a new GM. So it's sort of like starting from scratch to a certain degree with some of the pieces that you've inherited that you believe in and want to build around. But yes, it's like, let's go build the house from scratch. We're on a budget. We're going to move into a new home and we're going to start making our way there. And I think that's really been the approach of the team. And they can start over with these new people, and they're hoping that everybody builds this program and organization up together.
Shefty, the Bengals were 4-11-1 in 2020, yeah, you know, just a couple years ago. But we did learn about Joe Burrow during that year. You can learn about a quarterback even on a bad team, can't you? What would kind of be success to you and you think the Bears at the end of this season with Justin Fields, despite most likely a bad record?
I don't know how to define it, yeah, other than I would say to you that you'd be able to see it.
Yeah.
Period. Your eyes will know whether he is progressing the way that the Bears want and the way the fans want. And if he's progressing that way, then everybody in Chicago is going to feel good about the team and the direction it's going. If he is struggling and not progressing, you're going to see that too. And it's going to be reflected in the team's performance and the outlook for the future. So, look, it's hardly breaking news to say that a quarterback in his second year is going to help define the success of a season and the direction of a franchise. But that's what we're talking about here. And it'll be up to Justin Fields to take the next step. And you brought up Joe Burrow. You know, the difference between him and Joe Burrow is Joe Burrow was throwing to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd and C.J. Uzomah and had Joe Mixon in the backfield. I mean, there were a lot of weapons that team had. This offense in Chicago doesn't have,
yeah,
that caliber of weapons surrounding the quarterback right now. And again, the hope is that you build that up over time and you grow into that and get better and better, but right now that's not the case.
When do you think we're going to hear on Deshaun Watson? Because we're all sitting here waiting. Are the Browns expecting him to maybe not have a long suspension?
Nobody knows what to expect and when it's coming down, because the decision is coming from the former federal judge, Sue L. Robinson. There's no track record whatsoever of her ruling on a disciplinary case in the NFL. Now, I think that the NFLPA believes that it made a compelling argument, and the NFL believes there's enough evidence for Deshaun Watson to be disciplined for a long period of time. Now, which one is going to prevail? We'll find out. But I can tell you that the NFLPA, during the disciplinary hearing from 3 weeks ago, argued that in the NFL bylaws and the NFL's constitution, that NFL owners are supposed to be held to the highest standard of conduct. And if we look back at the behavior of some of the NFL owners in recent years, there has not been one that has been disciplined, really. I mean, Daniel Snyder has, I guess, stepped away from the team's day-to-day operations, and the organization was fined $10 million. But did the league suspend him? No, it did not. And so there are any number of instances with NFL owners who are supposed to be held to the highest standard. The NFLPA is now arguing that if they were not suspended, why should Deshaun Watson be suspended when there were no criminal charges? And yes, there were 24 civil cases, and he settled 20-24. And then the Houston Texans settled 30 cases against their quarterback. And there's no disputing the fact that what went on here is unusual, unique, and frankly creepy. But was it criminal? And so far, it has not been. And so the NFLPA has argued that on the basis of that, that the discipline should be light, and the NFL has argued that the discipline should be lengthy, and we'll see what the judge decides to rule whenever she makes her decision. I think everybody believes it'll be soon, but nobody really knows.
It's a heck of a strategy by the PA, whether they view it as maybe apples and oranges, who knows, owners and players, who knows. But here's my question. Did you think Cleveland traded for him completely oblivious? Were they given a hint? Like, it's quite the investment into a situation you have no control and no knowledge of. Do you think they had any idea, like, what the max sentence would be, or did they even care?
No, they did not know. I think that they say they looked into it, and I'm sure they did, of course. But many of the women said that the Cleveland Browns never spoke to them about what occurred. So the Browns did the research that they wanted to do. They did the investigating that they believed they should do. But they reached their own conclusion. I still think that when some of these allegations surface after they make the trade, I would bet that some of these things they didn't know about.
Sure.
And that there have to be people in the organization that wonder whether or not this team made the right move. Now, I think the bottom line, it speaks to how desperate the team was to find somebody at a position that they've really never been able to find somebody at in a successful way.
Schefter, we're really excited, man. The breaking news is Adam Schefter is going to be at the Football Fest at Hard Rock Casino, Northern Indiana, Saturday, August the 20th. Again, if you'd like to go, it's free, but register at ESPNFootballFest.com. People are excited to talk to you. Have a wonderful rest of your day, okay?
Thanks, guys. Look forward to seeing you there.
We'll see you there.
Take care, Adam.
Thanks, guys.
All right. We are giving away three pair of VIP tickets to the Football Fest at Hard Rock Casino right now. The tickets include exclusive access to the Football Fest at 9 a.m. for meet and greet with ESPN Chicago host, special guests. You heard Adam is going to be there. The event opens to the public at 10. Complimentary food and drink provided. Special area for the VIPs at Football Fest. We are giving away three pair of VIP tickets right now to every fifth caller. You must be 21 or older to enter and to win. 312-332-3776. How did the Cubbies get here? And what will the future look like? Next.
Cap J. Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J. Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Rolling on, Cap J. Hood, ESPN 1000. Jesse's in for Hoodie. He'll be back on Thursday. Cubs have won five straight. One thing you've got to give the Cubs credit for, every year they do a very good job identifying relievers and building a very solid bullpen. Last year they had Ryan Tepera and Andrew Chafin. So this year, I get the call from somebody over there, like, we're signing David Robertson. I'm like, David Robertson? That guy's a stud.
And then they sign Michael Givens, pretty damn good. They bring Efros, pretty darn good. Like, it is, if their starting pitching didn't get injured, might be a little different record. Might be a little different record. I'm not saying they'd be in first place necessarily, but they have built a good bullpen, and their closer's done a good job.
Okay, so their closer is in high demand. I'm reading last night, I'm making calls, and everyone wants David Robertson. He's pitched in the biggest markets.
Yes, he has.
Yankees, Cubs, White Sox. He has performed on the biggest stage. He's a veteran guy. He's healthy, and he is getting the job done. And he joins us now here on ESPN 1000. Okay, David, a week from today, the ball's being handed to you. Close it out, big guy. Who are you pitching for?
Tough one right out of the gate, guys. I have no idea. I haven't heard anything. But I'm assuming that there's a lot of talks going on that I'm just not hearing about. Or my agent.
Yeah, I was about to say, for people that don't know, David is his own agent. I was about to use that joke. Maybe they'll call your agent first. Okay, so classic question. Do you follow the rumors right around this final week? If not, I think the Yankees might be interested in a reunion. They just lost Michael King. But how much do you follow it? I mean, it's out there, right?
I don't really look at it too much. To be honest with you, I don't read a lot about baseball. I just kind of show up and play ball. Huh?
Okay.
If you get too much involved in everything, you'll start to go crazy.
So Charles Barkley once said to me, I do not believe that you should have agents. He said, a lawyer? Yeah. He goes, I'll pay you whatever your hourly rate is. If it's $1,000 an hour, I don't care. I'm going to get the best guy to look at my contract, tell me this. But he goes, why am I giving you a percentage of my money? So what went into your decision to be your own guy? And do you use a lawyer to look at the deals?
I guess you could say I do use a lawyer first. I use the PA to overlook my contract. It's pretty easy. They have people on staff, and you know, we pay our dues, so I get them to take a look at it, make sure I'm not being an idiot. But also, I've read through a bunch of them, and they're very similar at this point in my career. Like, they don't really change too much. There might be a word here or there that needs to be changed, but for the most part, they're pretty basic contracts for MLB players. But as far as moving away from my agent and representing myself, I just kind of was at a point in my career where I was like, I've already got 10 years in the league, and I think that I kind of have an understanding of what my value is, and I can see, look around the market and just kind of see who's out there and what they're getting. And I just kind of bet on myself. I think that I can have those conversations. I'm an adult. You know, teams can tell me what they think I'm worth, and it's not going to hurt my feelings. If they say they don't think I'm worth something, I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's part of it. It just happens. I'm a big boy. I can take it. But when it comes to negotiating, I feel like it's for the most part, if a team wants you, they're going to try to make you an offer that's going to get you, and then it's just a quick back and forth to see if you guys can hit a point that feels comfortable for both sides.
And eventually you've been able to do that. You did it with the Cubs just recently. Jed has talked about how that negotiation went. He had a smile on his face describing it. And then you go out there and have the season that you're having. I'm not sure if you're a guy that likes to hear about your numbers, but people probably know him, 183 ERA, just 3 home runs given up, all sorts of great things. But what are you most proud of on the mound this year as a Chicago Cub, the things you've done with that baseball this year? What are you most proud of?
Joe, I feel like we play a one-run game almost every day, and to be able to not blow as many as – I mean, I've blown a few this year, I'm not going to lie, but like – to be able to hold it down, even as scary as they may have seemed out there with runners all over the place, to just be able to get through some of those really tough outings, those one-run leads that we've had in the ninth, has probably been my biggest thing. You know, had to rely on the defense sometimes, but just trying to stay focused and make a quality pitch and get us out of there. That's probably my biggest thing this year. I mean, I'm healthy for the first time in 3 years, and it was a long road back from surgery, but I've made it, and I feel better than I did when I was younger. I just am a little... You know, I feel like everything is coming out of my hand really good. My movement's good. I'm just needed to get healthy again.
So if you look back at your game log this year, so you pitched, I believe, Saturday. You pitched Sunday. Last night is a one-run game, and I see Efros come in. And good for him. He got the save. I'm like, where's my guy Robertson? If this was not the trade time, do you close that game, or nope, I'll never pitch 3 days in a row?
I'd probably be in on that one. I think I've already thrown 3 days in a row this year, so it wouldn't have been a big deal to me. I mean, obviously, getting the 4-day break and then coming back, I think that they're just trying to give guys an extra day here and there. And with the trade deadline looming, they don't want to risk anything. So, I mean, I'm just assuming, and I haven't had any conversations, that it's just. They're just trying to look out for the guys at this point in the season.
Speaking of not having speaking of conversations or not conversations, are there any when you're a veteran and you everyone knows what's going on? I mean, do you even joke with Jed? Hey, don't send me to the West Coast or something. Like, are there conversations, or is there kind of like a separation of church and state there with player and executive?
I just haven't spoken to him honestly. A while. He hasn't been in the clubhouse. They've been busy with the draft stuff, too. The draft stuff coming right at the same time of the trade deadline. I'm sure that they are very busy and having very little sleep. I think he'll get to me at some point, and we'll have a conversation, and we'll just kind of see how everything plays out.
For Cub fans who are, you know, they're just disillusioned. Man, we're breaking it up. We're going to trade, you know, whoever it is, Contreras, Happ, Robertson, whoever ends up going, can you give us a feeling of what the vibe is like in that room? And are there players on this team where you look and go, you know what, the Cubs actually have some talent here?
I mean, we do have some talent. We've lost a bunch of tight ball games. I heard you guys say earlier when you were coming to me that, you know, starting pitching, you know, we had a lot of injuries happen real quickly there. And the bullpen kind of got overtaxed. We ended up losing a lot of one-run games and a lot of extra inning games. We've been right there with a lot of really good teams. We've got the talent. We just haven't been able to
to put it all together until recently. Like, we've been playing really good since we got back from the break. I think the guys just needed that. But, I mean, as far as, like, you're looking around and seeing everybody in the clubhouse and being like, oh, are you going to get traded, this and that, I don't think anybody's really worried about it too much right now because we're having such a good time playing. I mean, we're winning for the first time this year, and hopefully we can continue to do that.
Yeah,
it's still fun to win ball games.
Yeah, Ross said the same thing. He just – The trade deadline will be here, and it'll happen. Whatever happens, happens. So, but what is this next week like for you? You guys are packing up tonight to go to San Francisco. You pack a little extra because you may not be back in Chicago. How do you play? How does this affect your real life?
My real life? Well, I mean, my family's going back home. Mm-hmm. If that's what you want to know. And I'm heavy packing for this trip. And loading my car up, I am just in case something happens and we're out there on the West Coast, then at least I'm you know, the clubhouse guys can grab my stuff and send it to me, and I can start over again in whatever city I go to. But if I don't, then it's very easy to come back and unpack stuff and just enjoy Chicago.
Do you have any feeling about New York? I mean, the Yankees just lost King. They know you. Cashman's one of the few guys that was around when you played for them, right? Do you have a feeling about New York going back there?
I haven't heard anything. I don't, like I say, I don't know. I mean, I didn't hear anything last time, too, when I got traded back there. So it's hard to say. I mean, I'm sure, like I say, they're probably having conversations. I just don't know who's in and who's out.
Yep.
Hey, man, we appreciate you taking time. Just keep pitching as well as you are because it's a lot of fun to watch when you come in.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on. I mean, who knows? Might be here the rest of the year.
You never know, David. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
We'll see you. There he is, David Robertson of the Chicago Cubs. We also do have some breaking football news.
What do we got?
A vehicle pulled into Lake Forest to Hallis Hall, and out got Robert Quinn. He has reported to camp.
Quinn has reported?
Correct.
But Smith is
a hold-in.
Is a hold-in. So Quinn will actually participate.
Yes.
Apparently. Smith will not, though he'll be there.
Correct.
And again, explain, what does Smith say? What I'm
he
nicked
is
up?
Not. He only has 1 year left on his deal.
But how do you show up and then not practice? What do you make up? You ever got a stubbed toe? What do you do?
You just tell him you're not practicing.
You just tell him not practice.
Yeah,
I'm gonna stand
on the
here.
Sideline.
That's nuts. I don't know if I could do that. Honestly, I don't know if I could watch my teammates practice, be healthy, stand there. And say, no, I'm not.
And
I'm
if your agent there. Said to you, Jesse, if you get hurt, you have a freak Teddy Bridgewater-like knee injury, that's your future.
I'd say I'm a player, man. I'm a ball player. I'm going out there.
Yeah.
That's
no,
what
you
say.
Would not. Because Tracy Rogers
shot.
Would say, are you out of your mind? Get your paper first.
Well,
secure the bag.
When we win the lotto tonight, I will not be in here tomorrow, so... I'm going to be holding out tomorrow if we win tonight.
Hey, if I win the lottery tonight, I will be here to do the show tomorrow.
That's and the next day.
And the next
day. You're nuts.
I love what I do, man.
You're nuts.
I have a purpose to get up
I love
up
what
every
I
day.
Do, but it's two different That's two
Let
different things.
Ask you a question. Elon Musk has $253 billion. Why does he keep working every day?
He works.
Why does Bezos keep working?
He works when he wants. I'm sure you
Those
see him on the.
Those guys
yacht.
Work hard.
Yeah, well, that's probably why they have $250 billion.
Correct.
I might do something else. I might own something. Be my own boss. Instead, I'll get Zetterman over my neck here. Forget about it.
Right? You didn't do this way, or
yes.
do that way.
You didn't make the announcement the right way.
Yeah. Life working for Danny.
He's the best.
Love him dearly. We have the Cap at Jay Hood Cut of the Day brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse, my favorite restaurant. That is next.